From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gustina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Coming up this week, Governor Cuomo releases his executive budget seeking to close an over $4 billion budget gap. Our political observer Alan Shartok shares his thoughts on the governor's payroll tax proposal. And the Adirondack Park Agency has approved a plan to redevelop the former frontier town. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. Governor Andrew Cuomo unveiled a $168 billion executive budget this week that would close an over $4 billion budget gap by reducing some spending and imposing tax increases on health insurers, big businesses, and prescription opioid users, among others. Cuomo says he also wants to look into legalizing marijuana in New York. The Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt reports.
This year is going to be challenging, my friends.
Cuomo told lawmakers gathered at the State Museum that he's holding the line on state agency spending, and he's eyeing additional revenues by taxing health insurance plans and deferring corporate tax credits. He says both receive big tax breaks in the federal tax overhaul, so can afford it. Cuomo also wants to impose a fee on prescription opioid drugs and products related to electronic cigarettes, and make a better effort to collect sales tax on products purchased online. Cuomo would also close the carried interest loophole, which benefits hedge funds, but only if the neighboring states of New Jersey and Connecticut also change their laws. And he'd rein in increases planned for the property tax rebate program known as STAR. The governor says the budget gap, combined with uncertainties in funding from Washington, leaves him with little choice other than to raise some taxes.
$4 billion deficit. You can't possibly get anywhere near where you want to be on education and health care unless you raise revenues. It's just too big a deficit.
Cuomo is proposing a $769 million increase for school aid, but that's about half of the increase schools received last year. He's not making any big cuts to health care, but his budget does assume that President Trump and Congress will eventually refund the Child Health Plus program, as well as other programs that have been held up in wranglings over the federal budget. The governor's also relying on some one-time revenues from bank settlements after the financial crisis to pay for improving the New York City subways and paying for some day-to-day state operating expenses. Cuomo also outlined plans to deal with the federal tax changes that result in severe limits to state and local tax deductions, which hits New York and other relatively high tax states hard. He says a study will be released soon that explores converting the state income tax to a payroll tax and substituting charitable donations for local property taxes.
We're doing everything we can to thwart the effects of the federal plan.
The governor's presentation was interrupted briefly by Assemblyman Charles Barron. He heckled the governor for the second time since 2016. Barron shouted that more money is needed for schools in poor neighborhoods.
How about you listen to it first and then you say it's not working, okay? How about that?
Barron was escorted from the auditorium as other lawmakers applauded to try to drown him out. Others who disagreed with some of the governor's proposals expressed themselves in a more polite manner. Senate Deputy Majority Leader John DeFrancisco, who is considering a run for governor against Cuomo, says Cuomo spent too much time making the federal government the whipping boy for the state's problems, and he called the payroll tax proposal a gimmick.
There's another concept, and that is cut spending and cut taxes. That was a problem even before the federal tax code was changed.
The state's education commissioner, Mary Ellen Elia, says she knows it's a tough year, but she says she's disappointed that Cuomo did not agree with the State Board of Regents' recommendation to add $1.6 billion in funding for schools.
I am concerned about the governor's budget, there's no question, and it is substantially lower than the region's proposal. So the issue is, how do we work together to address what's necessary for our students?
Governor Cuomo is also, for the first time, proposing a study on making marijuana legal in New York. It could provide revenue for the state if it's taxed. Cuomo has previously backed only a limited medical marijuana program. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Meanwhile, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's rationale for a good part of the spending plan focused on combating the new federal tax legislation. Reaction to the proposal has been mixed. We get more from the Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn.
The Democratic governor proposed closing the state's $4.4 billion deficit a number of ways, including with $1 billion in revenue raisers. And he proposed this for education.
Education has a growth cap. The growth cap this year is 1.5%. We would propose actually doubling the growth cap to 3%, which is $769 million for education. We have increased education more than any area in state government, period.
Executive Director of the New York State School Boards Association, Tim Creamer, says that's a far cry from the $2 billion in additional state aid his group requested. Creamer says the $769 million actually works out to less.
But if you take that down, pare it down, take away the categoricals and the set-asides and the things that are predetermined as to how that spending is going to be, you get down to $288 million in flexible operating aid statewide. We had asked for at least $1.5 billion in flexible operating aid. So hence the statement that what the governor proposes is about one-fifth of what our needs actually are.
And two Hudson Valley State Assemblymen say they've secured enhanced full-day kindergarten aid in the budget proposal. Democrats James Skoufis and Kenneth Zabrowski represent two of five remaining districts, North Rockland and Washingtonville in Orange County, that have yet to make the switch to full-day kindergarten. Republican State Senator Terrence Murphy offers praise and criticism. He applauds the governor for adding $26 million for the Office of Alcoholism and Substance Abuse Services, or OASIS.
So how that spent is going to be the question, whether it's through residential treatment centers, whether it's in prevention, whether it's in recovery.
Murphy, a member of the Senate Heroin Task Force, would like to see a large amount go to residential treatment centers. He's interested in Cuomo's idea to implement a 2 cents per milligram opioid surcharge paid by opioid manufacturers to offset the cost of fighting opioid abuse. Murphy says he'll do more research on this. Cuomo wants to fund a Department of Health study on legalizing recreational marijuana. Murphy, while a strong supporter of medical marijuana, says he'll be interested to see what comes out of such a study. However,
am I in favor of recreational sitting around smoking a joint? No, absolutely not. Is it something that he's the DOH is going to, he wants to fund DOH to do a study on this? I think the study that it's just going to be, we'll find out how much revenue we can actually get.
Murphy says he was upset by what he did not hear regarding the closure by 2021 of Indian Point Nuclear Power Plant in his 40th state Senate district.
I am so disheartened that there was not one mention of anything about Indian Point, and I just texted the governor's office that I'm very upset that it's not even being talked about.
Murphy is a member of the state Indian Point Closure Task Force.
I'm proposing to put a special line item fund and fund a roughly around $15 to $20 million over the next 4 years to the closure of 2022. So we actually have a rainy day reserve fund to figure out what we're going to need to do over there.
On the environmental side, Dan Shapley, Water Quality Program Director for Riverkeeper, applauds the governor's continued multi-year $2.5 billion investment in drinking water infrastructure and source water protection. It's an amount, though, he says, will have to increase, if not this year, then down the road.
We're also happy to see that the Environmental Protection Fund is put at $300 million, which is where it's been the last couple of years and is the highest that it has been over the decades. So that's a really important source of funding for a lot of environmental programs in our state, and we're glad that that commitment is made.
He adds,
we're grateful that the governor put $1 million more into the Hudson River Estuary Program. At the same time, we are aware that it probably needs even more than this to sustain its program. So we are going to be looking for champions on the legislature to help us see that money for the Hudson River Estuary Program increase even more than the governor has proposed.
And Riverkeeper wants the Wallkill River added to Cuomo's proposed $65 million initiative to combat harmful algal blooms in upstate New York water bodies.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina.
Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. Alan, before we get into the New York State news of the week, although it certainly has to do with institutions like the New York Times, but Legislative Gazette tries to give you the information you need to make decisions about New York State government and politics. And we see the President of the United States out with his fake news awards this week, Alan, and the idea that in order to have a society, you need to have people trust the press.
Well, you do. Look, all the press isn't the same. We know that. It's something we keep pointing out on our media project program. The New York Post is different from the New York Times. But it's interesting, the more credible, the more that Donald Trump has gone after them, after all, the New York Times is by far the best newspaper in the world. And the fact that Trump finds it so scary that he has to attack it and give it an award for fake news shows that Flake is right when he says, Senator Flake was right when he said, this guy reminds him of Stalin, as we say, and his wars on the press. You know, the surest indication that we are heading towards fascism and totalitarianism is to take press rights away, to decapitate the First Amendment. And it's a New York newspaper, as we sit here on the Legislative Gazette show. You know, the little newspaper that we started 40 years ago called the Legislative Gazette, which led to the naming of the show. Where young people came. I was thinking back on it the other day, David, and how when we announced at New Paltz College that we were going to start this thing where young people under a professional editor would be doing the news of the legislature, and how a whole group of people came out against it and said, we don't want that here. And that makes the point, it does, because which legislator really wants to have it? Now, I have to say the Democrats were better at that time than the Republicans were, and everybody came around eventually. One of my favorite stories is that there was a Republican state senator named Norman Levy. I love the guy. And he always denied it, but I've heard it from several people. He stood up in the Republican conference as they were trying to kill the Legislative Gazette newspaper, and he said, is this why you guys got elected to be senator, so you could kill young people's newspapers? Well, that's always going to be the tension between the press and the people that they're covering. And we all know it. Listen, in all my years, I've certainly heard from enough politicians and big politicians telling you that they're not happy with you one way or the other.
Perhaps one more reminder that from Long Island to Buffalo, whatever station you're listening on could use your support.
No question. That's why public radio is doing so well compared to commercial radio, which is not doing so well. Because one is bought and paid for, the other is as honest as they can be.
To the news of the week, of course, the governor, Andrew Cuomo, out with his executive budget, seeking to close an over $4 billion budget gap. We just heard that story from our Karen DeWitt. The issue of fixing the federal tax overhaul plan and its impact on New York. Of course, the state and local deductions, so-called SALT, removed. And one of the ideas coming out of this executive budget and mentioned in the State of the State address is a payroll tax.
David, Governor Cuomo is frustrated. That's clear. He knows that New York City is being hit and hit hard by this attack by Trump and his people, who are clearly getting even with the blue states who didn't vote for them. And with getting rid of the deductibility of state and local taxes. Now, David, One of the things that's so interesting about this is the governor really doesn't know what to do. So he's come up with two plans. One is that your taxes somehow are going to be deductible because there'll be a charitable contribution. That ain't going to work. The other is that he is saying, what we're going to do is set it up in such a way that there'll be a payroll tax. We had E.J. McMahon on, and he made it clear that that wasn't going to work. He's an outstanding and conservative, but basically, he said that's not going to work, and it isn't going to work because a lot of people are self-employed in the state, and a lot of not-for-profits are out there. So the governor has to work on that. Now, one of the things that the governor came up with in his budget address is that he wants a $1 billion tax raise. And, of course, the Republicans in the state Senate, who he has a lot to do with keeping in power, by the way, say nothing doing. You know, New York is a tax, a major taxation agency. A lot of people move from New York, so they don't have to pay taxes. So here's a governor. He's got a budget deficit. He doesn't know what to do about it. He's going to put the brakes on everybody. There'll be all kinds of freezes in the state agencies. We know that. We talked to Tom DiNapoli about that. But in the end, it's not going to be enough. And he faces an election, a reelection campaign at exactly the wrong time. That's for sure in terms of what he has to do. So far, I don't see what he's coming up with as being the answer to the problems of the state.
There was something in there that seemed to never get any consideration by the governor that may be a way to bring in revenue. And he wants to look at legalizing marijuana.
Well, yeah, look, there is regressive taxation. Progressive taxation is when you make the millionaires pay more. Look, de Blasio, the mayor of New York, the arch enemy of this governor, is saying tax the rich, soak the rich. The governor is even coming around to that perspective when he says we have to have $1 billion more in taxes in the state, which is really just a drop in the New York bucket. Nevertheless, he is going to have to rely on regressive taxation. If you tax cigarettes more, I don't know how much more you can tax cigarettes. We do know it's working. People are smoking less. That's good. And you're now talking about charging cars that come into Manhattan, into a certain area, more money and raising some of the, maybe the toll rates. That is making the poor guy who has to make the ends meet every day pay a little bit more as opposed to the millionaires on the top.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. The Adirondack Park Agency has approved the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation's plan to redevelop the former Frontier Town site in North Hudson. The Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley reports.
In 2017, Governor Andrew Cuomo called for establishing a gateway to the Adirondacks at the former Frontier Town theme park. The DEC released a draft plan and held informational sessions in December. The Frontier Town Campground Equestrian and Day Use Area is a $13 million project on 91 acres. Trails would connect to existing paths and snowmobile networks. The camping facilities include 33 equestrian, 13 RV and trailer, as well as 45 tent sites. The plan requires review by the Adirondack Park Agency, and DEC project manager Ariel Lynch presented an overview to the board.
The former Frontier Town theme park and village operated on the lands immediately to the north of the project site between 1952 and 1999. So there are a lot of existing buildings still standing associated with that former use. Private development may occur on these former theme park lands to complement the campground, but that's not part of this project. So just to be clear, that the project before you today is a campground proposed by the DEC.
Adirondack Park Local Government Review Board Executive Director Fred Monroe says the APA's unanimous approval cements a commitment by agencies and the governor to create a gateway to the Adirondack region.
Frontier Town is a very developed site. It's right on the Northway, and it's very near the road that goes over towards Newcomb. It's right along the Schoon River, so that's an attraction. You know, it's near the Central Adirondacks. It's a great location.
Lake Placid-based Regional Office of Sustainable Tourism President Jim McKenna echoes the project's importance.
Its location and ease of access off the Northway cannot be beat. Number two, the high peaks have been experiencing more and more congestion. What this does, I believe, is offer another opportunity for people coming from the south primarily to sort of get a good understanding of other regions of the Adirondacks, number one. And number two, if we ever get to a system where there's a permit for hiking, this could act as a central location to sort of help people really understand where the least congested hiking is. And the third thing that sticks out, it opens up some of our other communities.
Hamilton County Board of Supervisors Chair Bill Farber says the Frontier Town project is one piece of a puzzle that will help stabilize the Adirondack's economy.
It's really about us doing a number of things simultaneously. I think it's the development of Frontier Town. I think it's developing these trail networks. I think it's, frankly, developing sufficient lodging opportunities within the Adirondacks so that the only real places to stay are no longer just Lake George, Lake Placid, Old Forge. We're not competing against each other. We're competing against the world. So it isn't as if I think that this one thing is the silver bullet that fixes it all, but I'm really high on the partnership that we've been able to maintain with the state over the last few years and some of the things that we've been able to get done.
Construction on the DEC campsite project at Frontier Town is set to begin in February. A day-use center is expected to open in the fall of 2018 and campsites in the summer of 2019.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Pat Bradley.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1803. Or just listen to podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.